Okay.
Alrighty, cool. So, are we, I also want to re-refer people to the book called The Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus, and there's throughout there's extensive discussion on self-observation, the interplay between the machine and the essential self, and there's a discussion of adoration as you go on in that book as well. Okay?
Okay, then, are you ready to move on to the next chapter, Thinking by Form?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll read the header. Thinking by Form, Chapter 13. A being who has fallen into identification with the sleep of the machine is forced to involuntarily accept impressions from every source. Impartial man is able to categorically select impressions. Can we
Well,
potentially say what selecting impressions is before we move into the chapter?
it okay if we go ahead? This is also one of my favorite chapters because it's, I think it might be the shortest chapter, which is the way I categorize things. But I think maybe we'll get a little bit of hint if we read on a little bit.
All right.
And then, because that's a good, a very, very good question, everybody. That's an essential question to this. So, impartial man is able to categorically select impressions. So, let's jump into it just a little bit. Most of us are able to read, and not only able to read, we can be said to be involuntary readers in the sense that the machine reads and records mentally everything we see and hear, whether we wish it or not. This habitual automatic reading of everything we see in written form makes us an involuntary slave to every literary and semi-literary idea which blows across our faces. We should be able to learn to disallow the automatic associations of the emotional part of the mental apparatus to collect and categorize these impressions upon which the machines happen to fall. So we should be able to disallow the automatic associations of the emotional part of the mental apparatus to collect and categorize these impressions upon which the machine's eyes happen to fall. We should also be able to do the same with objects and verbal sounds, then with sounds of every kind, and finally with sensations, till these can all be understood as new and uncategorical impressions. In this way, we can see them in completely new categories beyond the usual habitual patterns. Observe, here's the exercise, as impartially as possible for you presently, observe as impartially as is possible for you presently how this involuntary acceptance of impressions, particularly the written word, makes real understanding impossible. The ordinary, involuntary, but literate human being is blind to just how these his impressions are categorized because he is forced to continually rely on habit. And that's the lower centrums of the machine are just too slow to follow and direct these inner psychological processes. We assume that we understand all the things we see, read, and hear because they invoke in the machine these automatic associations, which seem, for some unaccountable reason, somehow familiar. And therefore, beyond question. Somehow familiar, and therefore, beyond question. whenever common sense permits, you can try an experiment. Become an intentional illiterate who is, for some unexplained reason, suddenly unable to understand the written word. Do not hide your involuntary illiteracy beneath confusion. Just void your habit of automatically decoding, understanding, and categorizing the written word and allowing it, without authorization, to become a permanent entry in the lower mental apparatus. Any thoughts on that? Does that help a little bit?
Well, I think it's one example. And for me, when I think about impressions, I think about impressions more in the category of sensing. And I think about the impressions
right.
that I get, for instance, when I walk down the street and I walk by people, because I sense so much and I'm so intuitive.
Yeah.
And I'm on all the time from having been doing healing work all day. It's painful to be in a crowd. And so it's difficult for me not to be overwhelmed by the amount of impressions or sensory input that I'm flooded with. And I think there are definitely ways of managing all of those impressions that are easier, and one of them is to quit reading them so I could potentially feel it, or I mean sense it, but not decide what it means about the person or what's going on in them when the impression strikes me, and then it's not as tiring. And that's like not reading. It's my version of it.
I had, the way I did this exercise once. It was many years ago. I was invited to join EJ and group in a, at a trade fair in San Francisco. And I stayed in Berkeley across the, or in Oakland across the bay with Julia. Her apartment at the time, and every morning I take BART over, which is the Underground Railroad, over to the convention center, and we'd work like 2 or 3 days long, and I'd get on the BART, which is like a subway or something, and there were a couple of signs that were there. I can't remember what they said, but one, you know, of course, was the exit sign, and I'd stare at the thing. And I noticed that I couldn't help, when I saw this sign that said exit, I couldn't help but recognize the word as exit. I couldn't just see it as forms. I couldn't help myself.
You might still be in there.
I might still be in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might. Actually, it was a great effort. It wasn't a bad trip back and forth. I wouldn't mind going there. But it was quite an exercise trying not to read the signs. And it helped show me how automatic that stuff was. You're bringing it to a different level, saying that you walk down the road and boom, 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 you're quote-unquote reading these
Well, like I'm looking at someone and I can tell just by their breath or their movement pattern exactly what bones are out of place in their body. And after looking at people all day in my office and seeing that and noticing it and making response to it, it's really hard to shut it off. I mean, even if I look at the news anchor or something like that, I'm looking and go, oh, his cranial bones are out.
So in a case like that, rather than so if you look at it, and actually Lenora?
Leona? No, she's not here tonight.
Leona. She was talking to us about the tree, how she has this communication with the tree.
About hearing what trees have to say. Yes, when we're walking
yeah.
together, we listen. We compare notes about what the trees are saying.
Okay, so the trees... So, and I actually went through this once with in a thing with Krishnamurti years and years ago. What actually occurs is that first there's actually an impression that hits you, and it might be electrical. I mean, there's an impression, that's all it is. In your eyes, the impression is like the letter E, XIT. But all it really is at first is an impression, right? The issue is that you have the impression and it immediately gets interpreted. And it's that immediate interpretation is actually the second step to it. That isn't the first thing that occurs. The first thing that occurs is that you're just touched by the impression, if that makes any sense.
Yes, you sense it.
Yeah. So if you sense it, the whole point is maybe there's a way to not just drawn in and say, oh, that means exit. Maybe it's just a drawing. It's just a form. You know, it's a form.
If I'm
And if
not
you can.
mistaken, what's at issue here isn't just. Okay, I think, even though I might be wrong, I think there's a difference between sensing and, well, sensing things in the natural world, sensing impressions, paying attention to what you notice in the space around you. There's something more organic about that than taking in, say, the written word, which has been structured with specific thought, where you're supposed to interpret it in a certain way. It's different to look at a tree and sense what the tree might be communicating, or to even sense the energy around a person, and even whether or not we make an interpretation of it. I think there's a difference between that and interpreting something like writing, which is designed to communicate something at a strictly mental level, because that's a lot more two-dimensional, and there's not as many options for sensing when we go into the automatic habit with the mind in that.
Okay.
And I think there's something else that's important, is whether or not we have a choice with respect to the impressions. Are we processing the impressions automatically, or are we choosing to allow some impressions and to disallow or mute other impressions to some extent, which is a greater level of mastery?
Well, I think part of the point is that we are not making a choice at all. We're not in choice most of the time. And most of the time it's just utterly automatic. The thing comes in, we see it, interpret it, hear it, feel it, and we go, oh, that means this. Oh,
Yes.
that means this. We don't even pause and say, oh, that means this.
Pause.
We just meet.
PWOS. We don't even PWOS.
Right. No.
David, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so this is really, in a way, we are stopping the conditioning we have had.
Well,
The
that's
conditioning as in interpreting a language, interpreting a message immediately with the idea that conveys in our heads. So we are stopping that, and we are just seeing it totally unidentified, detached, like you say, like observing maybe a drawing instead of a word.
Yeah, try it. Blow your
Yeah, I
mind.
have done it.
It's nice sometimes to be in a country where all the road signs are in another language.
Unless you're trying to get around. Yeah, no, you're right. I had that thought too.
But it's
Good.
in that line, right?
Pardon?
It's in those lines, more or less. Because it's very specific exercise there. Read the words and make yourself illiterate.
Okay, we have a comment coming in, Townsie Girl. So stand in the moment of sensing and do not move on to the associative thinking and just sense and, quote, feel that?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, but do it on things that are so super ordinary, like reading, or you hear a jingle on the radio, and try not to know what it means.
Or some little sound that your partner makes that you interpret as perhaps being a judgment. Those kinds of things when we interpret what somebody means according to the past and they may be in a totally different context. That's another place to practice.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, expansions, vistas?
There aren't at the moment, although we did have an email request coming in from Diana to review the chapters of the book up to this point. I wasn't sure if you wanted to go into that. Now we have a few other comments coming in while you're considering. Zazen, an impression to me can be a food. Just nice. Sama, I think artist, designers and marketers become good at using this automatic involuntary sensing, using visual cues to elicit specific impressions.
You know who uses it also? Magicians. When they're doing sleight of hand, because there's you do a trick and people expect certain things and you use that expectation. And you pull off these incredible magic tricks.
And politicians.
Politicians as well. That's right. Good.
Sorry, David.
Yes, sir.
In relation to exactly the expectation, that is what your friend, the composer in New York, that shows you the Argentinian music, that's what he said to you. Wasn't that brave? Because he was expecting something else, and the composer put something totally unexpected. That was his, that's why he said to you, isn't that brave?
Yes. Yeah.
Another similar example, I have a friend who's an excellent drummer, and there'll be unusual rhythms, and he'll be counting them out while he's listening to the music sometimes, and then I have another window into the music.
Yeah. And Diana wants us to recap everything that's happened up until now?
I guess so.
Well, the way I see it, first there were the dinosaurs, and then they died. And then after a long time, then there were like the oil companies, and then here we are.
She said the
Thank
chapters.
Thank you, David. That was excellent.
Forepost said, I've been trying to do that and find it very hard just to look at something and not name it, just to be with it, like a rose, to just observe it.
You know what, Forepost and others, that... How about if you look at a friend and from that point of sensing and compassion, you don't know who they are, you don't bring all your expectations and knowledges of them, and suddenly they're brand new and fresh in front of you? How about your parents, or your kids? There's a large studio audience here, by the way. And I'm trying to keep the noise down, but yeah, how about your kids, looking at your kids and suddenly it's just a brand new person in front of you. And later on, much later, you open the door, you walk in, you look in the mirror, and you go, who's that? Who's that?
So, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to share this, an experience that I had when I was until 10 years old, 11. And I used to sit in front of a mirror, and I just for a few minutes, like not even a minute, and totally I would disassociate with the person that was in front of me.
Yeah?
Exactly what you just said. And I never understood. Later on in life, I could put it in this world, like the one that you are describing now. But it was the most awesome experience. I couldn't recognize myself. I was a totally new person in front of a mirror.
Frightening, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly was. That was the word. And I couldn't recognize the people around me, so I had that chance to experience that disassociation from those impressions.
If you run screaming, don't look at your hands.
Wow.
And I lost it. I've never tried again hardly to do it, but I have it so clear in my head.
Okay. Good.
So, David, what would you think about with respect to this request for a chapter review? There was a project we were going to take up that Mike had reminded us about at one point in terms of this offer you made to write out the exercises for each chapter, and it might be nice to have those and perhaps to post them on the website or to email them to the group, and that might be a nice compromise that wasn't a review, but something that we had in mind to do anyway.
Okay, let's do that between now. If I have somebody that bugs me about it, between now and then I'll do it. But I'm only going to do the first, 13 chapters?
Okay. Would you let the group know what kind of bugging might be effective?
I'm not going to reveal that. But it's a good challenge, Diana, and I appreciate it. Oh, good. Doorways is coming up. And the next chapter, which may or may not be in the summary, is called Remorse of Conscience, chapter 14. But I consider that a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing it.
Okay, so if there aren't any other comments or questions for the night, maybe it's time to wind down the class. Oh, here we have a comment coming in from Sama. Excuse me. This chapter's exercise reminds me of being in a foreign country where you can't read the language or understand the verbal language.
Yes. I had that experience when I went to England a few years ago. Couldn't understand a word anybody said.
The energetics behind the language are very different. The first time I got off an airplane in England, I was actually quite shocked because the mind field in terms of the thought forms was so strikingly different that my whole sense of the language ricocheting around me was confusing, and I realized that the words didn't mean the same thing, and it was more just the feeling of all the thoughts in the space rather than the actual words or sounds of the language.
Yep. I think we're there.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for showing up tonight and participating, having a lively discussion. Thank you for everybody who contributed. I'd like to suggest that if you haven't done so, take a look at the website and check out the comments there, or maybe add comments of your own. And with that being said, we'll meet again next week.
Is June 19th a Wednesday? Does anybody have a calendar?
I have a calendar, and June 19th is a Wednesday.
And it's the third Wednesday of June?
Tonight, isn't, oh, June 19th. I'm sorry. I'm looking at May 19th. Duh. No, that's the Wednesday is the 16th.
Okay. Is that the third Wednesday of June?
Yes.
Okay. I won't be able to come to class on that day.
Okay. I'll make sure I email everyone to that effect.
Okay. I hope I remember and don't show up by accident. Thanks for coming. I look forward to seeing you next week. Take care. Good night.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Okay.